Welcome to the Young and the Restless Recap. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Amanda.
And it's our 76th podcast.
Yay!
This is going to be a long one, I think.
Yeah, strap in.
Yeah.
I've got 2 cups of coffee, you got a big cup of water, so we're ready to go.
I had a big breakfast. I think I can handle it.
Yeah.
We'll also announce the winner of our contest at the end of the podcast.
Right.
But there's so much that has happened during the end of October and beginning of November. We're just going to attempt to go in order, but it's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
Is this, like, sweeps week or whatever they call it? Is that what's happening?
You know, I would have thought so, except that most of the big dramatic stuff happened in October, which is not sweeps yet. So, but okay. I think, yeah, the first week of November is sweeps. So
is that
doesn't make sense.
Okay. I mean, there was so much that happened. I guess we'll start talking about Kane and
right.
Lily and, because Hillary was still in a coma in the boathouse,
right.
But they had recruited right. like an evil doctor. Well, he wasn't evil.
Right.
He's just really,
sketchy.
Really, yeah. And arrogant.
Yeah. And he pumped her full of all kinds of drugs.
Yeah, and he kept
you
talking
know,
about
course,
how...
it's experimental, and he can't pronounce them, and, you know, who knows what it is. It's probably just all saline.
Well, it's funny because, you know, last year, or maybe 6 months ago, or whenever, I don't even remember, was it a year ago that they brought Phyllis back with an experimental treatment from a coma?
Right. Why have they not been using that on... Why did Neil not... think about that. Who do I know who's been in a coma?
Well, later...
Oh, that's right. Phyllis was in a coma, so why don't we use those drugs?
Because later, just like maybe yesterday or the day before, somebody, I think it was Devon or Dylan or somebody said, yeah, we already talked to the doctor who brought Phyllis back, and he said he would never come near Genoa City again, or blah, I don't know. There was... So they basically addressed
nice.
It. Like, but yeah,
okay,
he was never solicited for this treatment.
That's funny.
So the crazy, what is the crazy doctor's name here? I don't even remember.
I don't even know.
Well,
all I know is that he's the guy who used to be on All My Children.
Yeah, but apparently he's a local to the Genoa City Hospital, which just seems sort of convenient because they interviewed Gwen's sister and she was like, there was a doctor once. And he was crazy. So they're
nice.
Kind of on the lead
okay,
of this
so they've
guy.
Created a backstory for him.
Yeah. Anyway, so he administers the drugs. And Neil and Gwen know Hillary's going to wake up sometime soon, assuming that it works. And but they leave. They go somewhere else. They do
right.
something else. They go to have coffee or something.
Yeah.
And the doctor falls asleep.
Right, yeah. For a little nosh.
And Hillary wakes up and is totally disoriented and
yeah.
sees this strange person. She's obviously hooked up to, you know, an IV. And Neil and Gwen aren't around, and so she disappears, like, while he's asleep.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway. So meanwhile, Kane has been sort of hot on the trail, or, you know, but they'd found the ransom money in his gym bag in the closet, and everybody was pointing fingers at Kane, saying he's the one. And
yeah,
he's saying no. I don't know. Anyway, so he stumbles on Hillary in the park, and she's got like this old busted sweatshirt on, and she seems confused. And he goes, "Oh my God, it's Hillary! Hang on a second." And he turns around to make a phone call. Like, why? Like, I'm not going to look at her. And then, like, calls 911 or calls Paul or whatever. And the minute he turns around, of course, she's gone. And everybody thinks he made up this story to make himself
yeah.
look good. And then Lily is really, really upset. Because then she's just like, I can't trust you. Everybody says they can't trust Kane. But we all know he actually did see her.
Yeah. Well, and Kane's always been, you know, the good-hearted guy who we know is on the up and up, but everyone else thinks is, you know, an Australian cattle rustler or trying to take over Newman's business or take over Jabot or whatever else. And so he's always being suspected of these horrible things.
Because he's lied so much in the past, even if it was for a good reason.
Well, and even if it was for a dumb reason. I mean, he lies.
Yeah.
He needs to lie out.
He lies.
You know, he's that guy who's like, no, I didn't eat half the pie. Dog ate half the pie. And you know, he's like, we don't have a dog. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he's a compulsive liar.
Yeah, and very bad at it, considering his dad is like a genius at it.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, remember Cain had the evil twin. Maybe the evil twin was better at lying.
That's true. I forgot about that.
So anyway, then soon after, they did come across, because somehow Hillary, then she went to the hospital looking for help.
Right.
Like, she didn't
taking herself to the hospital.
She didn't recognize Cain, but when she got to the hospital, she recognized Gwen. And she was asked, Gwen, help me, Gwen, help me. And then Gwen turned her back for a second, and Lily disappears again. So
Hillary.
Hillary, sorry. Hillary disappears. But anyway, they got her into a hospital. Like, the crazy doctor showed up and, I don't know, gave her a little chlorophyll or something, and then put her in a hospital bed and said, somebody will find her. That was their plan.
And they did.
Yeah, and then I think Gwen's sister found her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's the only nurse, actually. So they found her, but she has total amnesia, right? Or not total amnesia. It's like her amnesia goes back to when she was married to Neil. She thought she was married to Neil still.
Happily married to Neil.
Yeah, she kept saying, I want my husband, I want my husband. And Devon goes in, she's like, who the hell are you? And Neil comes in and she's all over him.
Mm-hmm, right.
And Neil doesn't come clean about anything initially, not at first.
Yeah. And Gwen is just freaking out because it seems like Neil is kind of saying, oh, yeah, okay, I could totally get back together with Hillary. She was fun.
I was wondering if he was entertaining that notion, because he certainly didn't tell Hillary, like, oh, no, I'm with Gwen now. He was sort of along the lines of, like, no, you're with Devon, aren't you? So there was a lot of Devon trying to, I don't know, spark her memory with pictures of the wedding. But Hillary then goes to the athletic club because she's not going to move back in with Devon. She's obviously not going to move in with Neil. And so Devon says, please just go to the athletic club, you know, and maybe we can work on it together. And she's there and does she remember the honeymoon and Neil being there?
I think, yeah, that she remembers Neil being on the cliff with her.
Yeah. And he comes clean. He says, I showed you this video. You know, we kind of argued, but then you left and you fell completely on your own. But she doesn't remember any of that.
Right. Yeah.
So is she suspicious that Neil pushed her?
I think she is a little suspicious that Neil pushed her, but doesn't want to believe it. She's had some flashbacks of her and Devon having some sexy time, and she doesn't want to acknowledge that either.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what her problem is.
I don't have a problem with the storyline at all. It was sort of a good twist. But I also don't know where it's going.
Yeah. Well, it's very vague.
Yeah.
It could go a lot of ways.
I mean, it really would be too easy if she was just suddenly rescued and remembers Devon.
Oh, yeah, and everything.
Yeah, that's too easy. So, of course, the amnesia fits in. But I almost wondered if the way they were pairing it was that Devon and Gwen were going to somehow find something because they were both, like, left on the outs.
Yeah. That could be. And we know that Hillary's a big liar, so maybe she's just faking it.
No, she's not faking it. I don't think so.
Yeah, I get that impression, but she could.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she was pretty nasty with Devon in the beginning, and it sort of reminded me what she used to be like.
Right, yeah.
So, that's kind of... Well, oh, but then, yeah, so... Neil came clean. So then did he split town? I don't even remember. He just admitted all the stuff to Hillary. And then what happened?
Then there was just kind of a, oh, okay, all right, let me try and condense that and think about it a little bit. And, oh, by the way, I'm not going to take the meds that you're suggesting. Oh. Will help me get my memory back.
That's right, because the crazy doctor had told Gwen he had this bottle of pills, and he was like, she's been revived, but the point is that if she doesn't take this medicine, she could have side effects. So,
right. Yeah.
What are those side effects?
Like memory loss.
I guess. But he made it sound like she's going to be like Frankenstein. I don't know. She's going to be hungry for blood if she doesn't get her pills.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and they showed him sneaking into the hospital, pretending to be a flower delivery guy.
Yeah.
And luring the world's worst nurse away to go get, you know, a vase for the flowers. And it's just like, okay, while she's gone, I'm going to look at Hillary's chart.
Yeah.
And he looked at the chart, and her numbers were really messed up, apparently. And so he knows that he kind of screwed up somewhere along the line.
Oh, you
and
mean,
then
like,
if she doesn't take her meds, then she's
she
probably going to drop dead.
Okay, okay. Yeah, because then also, like, Paul ran the toxicology report, mm-hmm. and wasn't he sharing it with Dylan, or I don't know, like...
Everybody, but, you know... It's posted on his Facebook page.
Who can tell me what this means?
To anyone else?
I mean, I just love that Dylan was kind of talking about it. So I went, I mean, Dylan just seems like the least intelligent person in town. I don't know.
But I think given Dylan's history, yes, he's the least intelligent, but I think he would know the most about what drugs not to mix together.
I guess so.
You know, so he's looking at it going, well, wait a minute, there's cocaine and heroin and THC and, oh, look, there's some opium and, well, why did they give her morphine? You know.
Yeah, so they know that somebody administered these drugs. And plus she had, like, this nasty... Where she ripped out the IV, her arm was all, like, infected and bloody, and it looked like a really bad
attack. Well, yeah.
So they know that somebody had her for a while and was, like, mm-hmm. administering some sort of care, no matter how terrible it was.
Well, and especially by the fact that, you know, she's been in a coma for how many weeks, and, like Phyllis, was able to just get up and walk away. You know, there's no muscle atrophy. There's no bed sores.
No,
gosh, you know.
Yeah. And they showed a couple times pictures of her hand with her wedding ring. And I was thinking, well, her manicure still looks good, even though she's been in that bed for 2 months.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
that's what Gwen did while she was sitting.
She just painted Hillary's nails every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think that's where they left that storyline.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. What else should we talk about?
So, let's figure out a way to talk about the party.
Okay, so let's talk about Adam, because then same time, Adam was going to court, and it was like he was going to be sentenced, and... Mm-hmm. And you kind of got, I think I got a sense initially that it was an accident. He wasn't going to be sentenced, but no, then it came down. Adam sentenced 10 years in prison.
Right.
And everybody was sort of processing that. And Billy was sort of upset because actually Billy got on the stand and was like, you know what? At this point, it's an accident and it's not helpful to punish people. It's an accident. And I just want to move on, but whatever. They gave him 10 years. So they're transferring Adam outside the courthouse. He's going to walk across the street to the police van. And like a Cadillac screeches around the side and runs down Adam in the street. and takes off. Who was behind the car?
That's what I want to know. Who was driving that car?
Okay, I assumed it was Ian Ward.
That's the first thing that came to my mind.
Okay, but they never really addressed it. It was just that somebody ran down Adam. And I love because they're at the courthouse steps, and then the van is across the street, and nobody, like, physically escorts him. They just wave him, like, you, by yourself. You walk across the street.
Get over there. Well, and now you know what. Police vans are always parked in front of the courthouse, not across the street from the courthouse.
Yeah. So anyway, he is then rushed to the hospital. And initially, they accuse Billy a little bit because he'd left the courthouse early. But we all know it wasn't him because he was sort of mourning with Victoria all over again.
Right.
And so Adam is in the hospital and... I don't know, they do emergency surgery, and all of a sudden, Victor feels really bad.
Yeah, he, like, has this whole change of heart. It seemed a little too sudden, even though it is his son who might die.
Yeah, but I feel like Adam has been in other situations where he's in the hospital, and Victor hasn't been as heartfelt, but all of a sudden, it was this thing where he's pretty upset by it.
Mm-hmm.
And... So they give Adam surgery. He survives.
Of course.
And
good makeup, though, on him.
Yeah, actually, that's true. It does. It looks pretty legit. So he's in bed, sort of recovering, and everybody else is getting ready for the Halloween. It's not... Is it like a... It's like a gala?
Well, it's like a gala, but it's to benefit...
Delia.
Somehow it's Delia related.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Because you were saying last time, there's too many death memorials or whatever. Why don't they have a birthday party or something? So I kind of thought, oh, here we are. They're having a party, I guess, sort of in Delia's honor. And she Halloween was her favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So.
And Billy had that history of throwing the greatest Halloween party ever.
Yeah.
In the past.
Yeah.
So it all kind of comes together with this really sad, depressing, twisted motive now. It's like, God, way to ruin Halloween.
I know. Halloween has just not been good around Genoa City for the last few years.
It's really not. It's not a good holiday there.
But they decide to throw this big party in Newman Towers.
Mm-hmm.
Like on the top floor. I don't know. So they've never...
The ballroom no one knew they had.
Yeah, they've never really thrown a party there. So I was like, oh, okay, interesting location. All right. And pretty much everybody's there except Adam, who's in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And obviously...
Sage and Nick, because they're at the hospital with their... newborn, struggling for life.
Yeah. Kane wasn't there because he and Lily are on the outs.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much everybody else in town was essentially in the ballroom at Newman Towers.
Yeah.
And I loved that they were getting ready for the party ahead of time. Nikki's there, and Kevin is... all of a sudden, Kevin is everybody's sort of... Like, he's every job in the world. Like, he's checking the electrical, and he's checking on the virus from Paragon, and he's making sure the chairs are in the right place.
Right. Yeah.
So, and the lights keep flickering, and it was funny because Phyllis and Nikki had sort of teamed up together, and they said, let's put our crap aside and put together a good party, even though it was still a little tense. But they kept, you know, they kept sending Kevin to fix this or Kevin to check on this. And so you got the sense something wasn't going to go right, but you just didn't know what it was.
Right.
And then everybody's showing up for the party, and I don't know, did they even do anything? Like, did they even have like a speech for Delia? I can't even remember.
Well, yeah, Billy got up there at one point and just said, you know, this is Delia's favorite holiday, and so that's why we're having this big party, and
thank you,
Victor Newman, for letting us use your ballroom, kind of thing.
And initially it was a good party. People were...
Yeah.
Having a good time.
The costumes were pretty good.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite costume?
I actually like Nikki's.
Oh, hers was hilarious. What was she?
She was a Gibson girl.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I remember thinking her hair was so big.
Yeah, and her hat was so big. I couldn't decide if she was a Gibson girl or if she was just trying to be, oh, shoot, who's that actress from the 20s? Come on up and see me sometime. Mae West.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, but I think that Nikki's costume was not actually a costume. I think it was something she originally wore when she was Gibson girl because she's so old.
And Victor had a masquerade mask on that was sort of, but it was for him, for me, he never really took that mask off. And so it was just a little too eyes wide shut for me.
Yeah.
What was Jack?
Jack was a dandy.
Oh yeah.
He was like a preacher French. What the fuck?
Like a high collared white shirt. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it's ridiculous. I still don't understand why was Chelsea wearing scrubs?
Oh no, because she was in the hospital with Adam, and I don't know why she. I think she had gone in. She had to put on scrubs to go in and talk to Nick and Sage because they were wearing scrubs, you know, with their baby in the I don't know the premature baby ward or whatever, and. I think.
Oh, okay. It'd be in the picture.
Or something. Maybe she wasn't even wearing scrubs. Yeah, she was at the hospital, and Adam was like, you need to go to the party. Just go. And she didn't want to leave, and he was like, take Connor. It'll be fun. Just go to the party. And so maybe that was just like, she asked a nurse, like, can I just borrow your scrubs, and this will be my costume? Because then. Yeah.
Okay.
Nick also convinced Sage to go. Like, you need to go. Have a good time. Sort of the same thing. And she was already wearing her scrubs. And so when she showed up, Chelsea and Sage looked at each other and they were like, ha ha, we're in the same costume. How hilarious. Yeah.
All right. That makes sense. Whereas Nick has time to go home and get a full.
What was his costume?
Outfit. Was he like a piratey guy again?
Yeah. I was going to say he was like a swashbuckler.
He was something swashbuckly.
Well, come on. I mean, if you're, okay, I'll be real. If I last minute needed to go to a Halloween party, I have a variety of things to choose from. So I would imagine.
Right. Yeah. You've got your go-to closet.
Yeah. I liked Lily's cause she was Cleopatra. I thought hers was a good costume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I want to talk about Luca and Noah's costumes because I was dying of laughter. Oh, because Marissa was like Day of the Dead. She had some really intense makeup on.
Mm-hmm.
And Luca was like...
you know, that's not really heavy-handed. We have a Hispanic on our show.
Yeah, I know, right? But Luca was like a gladiator. Something super macho. Yeah.
He was a Roman soldier.
And then Noah... what was Noah? All I know is that he had
Noah
a lot of...
Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I didn't even get his costume. I was just like, what's with all the eyeliner? When you've got Luca, who is super macho, and then Noah with all his guyliner, I'm like, okay, who's in charge right now? So anyway, Adam doesn't go to the big party because he's in the hospital, but everybody else is there. The other thing was then... On another floor, they put all the kids with Kevin and Mariah.
Yeah, every kid in town was there for a change. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, and they all had their costumes on, and they were going to do some, like, a Halloween parade for all the adults, right?
Yeah, right.
But
that's 3 minutes of a three-hour party taken care of.
Well, it gives the kids something to do, and, you know, Mariah and Kevin get to team up and watch children.
Right. Because they didn't have enough to do.
Well, I felt like there were kind of multiple reasons they did that. The first one was, initially Mariah voluntold Kevin, like, we're going to watch the kids or we can do it. And initially it was that she, you know, she doesn't have any mothering parts in her body. Like, she's never good with kids, but we've always seen her with Faith. It's always this facade.
She's good with kids. What are you talking about?
I know, but she acts like she's not. Like, she always tries to put up front that she's not. And Kevin wasn't really into it. But, and she was kind of funny because every time things kind of went a little crazy, she was like, who wants candy? And then everything was fine. But I felt like maybe they did that to show again that she actually is good with kids and could be a mother not too far down the road.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Right. Yeah, no, I think that that's perfectly logical. That they're setting her up in a mothering role so that people won't freak out when they find out she's knocked up.
On the other hand, I cannot think of Sharon as a grandmother.
God, no, that'll be funny.
I don't feel like she's old enough, even though I guess she is old enough, but I just don't, I don't see her in that role yet.
No, but what I see her in is kind of the Amy Poehler mother in
the
Mean
cool
Girls. I'm a grandmother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could totally see
that. I could see her taking that spin on it.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, so they're on another floor. Everybody else is, I don't know, upstairs partying. And the elevator stops working. And Kevin keeps leaving and keeps going, I'm going to check on the elevator. I don't know what's going on. Something isn't okay. And then Patty walks in downstairs, like in the lobby. Uh-huh. And the security guard's like, hey, the elevator's not working. Sorry, you can't go up. And she was like, oh, I know my name's on the list. I'll just take the stairs. 24 uh-huh. flights.
Yeah.
And,
well, you know, she does cardio.
Yeah, right. So I think she was in the stairway when all of a sudden it's like the lights go out and I don't know, was there an explosion? Was there a fire? What happened?
There was an explosion, but it wasn't a big explosion. It was just kind of a medium.
Okay.
Little, you know, could be just a blowout of the transformer or whatever.
Okay.
You know, that the circuit breaker blew and...
Yeah. Because this event stretched over like 5 or 6 episodes of them being in that building on fire.
Yeah, and it got progressively worse.
Yeah.
That it wasn't just one great big huge explosion. It was this little thing popped and then that thing blew and then this other thing.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was it got bigger as it went.
And I think when it initially happened, Kevin was on his laptop and it did that sort of weird Matrix thing and they're like, oh, it's Paragon. I'm so sick of this Paragon thing. But Nick and Sage had gone down with Kevin and Mariah to check on the kids. And so when the explosion or whatever happened, they were all together, but there was smoke. And I guess I don't understand us being teachers. And when an emergency hits, it's best to be honest with children and say, this is serious.
Yeah.
And this is why we need to evacuate or whatever. And they were like, let's play a game where we walk through smoke and fire. Isn't this fun, everybody?
Yeah.
It didn't make any
sense. I didn't get that either. It's like the kids were old enough, some of them, to understand this is a serious thing and you need to take it seriously and you need to help us with the even littler kids who don't understand. And teaching moment lost.
But they were like, let's go down the stairwell. Woo! Make crazy spooky noises as the building is on fire.
But you have to get low because the ghosts are high up and they'll get you. And it's like, no, that's called smoke inhalation. What is wrong with you people?
It's like bad parenting. Anyway, so all the kids, they're all in the stairwell trying to get down. And then meanwhile, everybody up in the ballroom, they're like, we're not leaving. We need to know the rest of the building is safe in order to leave. So they're all sort of trapped in there. But at some point, Stitch goes to investigate and then Phyllis and Jack go to investigate another area. So you have all these people in different pockets.
Yeah.
And the other thing was, so like right when it was happening, it was, Chelsea and Adam, they were like FaceTiming. Chelsea's at the party.
Uh-huh.
And then things go bad and Adam freaks out and is like, I gotta get there. Because, you know, post-surgery, the most equipped person to save a bunch of people is probably, you know, the guy with fresh stitches, right?
Sure, right, exactly.
On pain medication with no stamina. So Michael is with Adam and says, you know, you can't go, you can't go. But then Lauren's there and Michael's freaking out. And Adam sort of talks him into like, hey, create a diversion. I'm going to go to that burning building. And Michael does it.
Because God forbid Michael go and do anything to help.
Well, come on. Saving lives is not really Michael's bag.
It's really not.
Yeah. I would have been really surprised if Michael had gone into a burning building, because that's just not the way he rolls.
No.
So he created the diversion so that Christine didn't see Adam escape. Adam escapes, and then, you know, gets to the Newman Towers, and Paul is out there with a lot of the, you know, the, I don't know, firemen.
The rescue workers.
Yeah, the rescue people, right? Paramedics, everybody's there. And eventually the kids get out.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam is thrilled, Connor's safe, and, you know, but he knows Chelsea's still up there and everybody else is still up there. And Paul's like, number one, you escaped and you're supposed to go to prison. And number two, you're fresh out of surgery. You're not really the right person to go in the building. And Adam gives one of those, you know, impassioned speeches.
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, I'm going to go in there and save everybody. And then he rushes in. Meanwhile, I mean, you've got all of these other people with, you know, fire suits on and helmets, mm-hmm. and appropriate
trained
equipment.
Professionals.
Yeah, and nope, let's just send Adam in. He'll fix it.
But they did put him in fire pants, at least.
You're right. They did give him fire pants. But the whole time he's like holding his side, like where he must have gotten, you know, operated on. And he's going up the stairs. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so he rushes into the building. I don't know. Then what?
There's a lot of, you know, Victor managed to get his helicopter to kind of pick people up from the roof, and Dylan is in charge of that, uh-huh. and Joe keeps getting pissed off because he gets bumped all the time.
It was very Titanic for a while, where, mm-hmm. A lot of people were clamoring to get on the helicopter, and they're like, women and children first. But, you know, Nikki's like, I'm not going to leave Victor. Okay. And I don't, it was right. very much like, who's going to survive? And who truly is willing to push women and children out of the way to get out, which was Joe.
Which is Joe.
And who's a martyr and must stay, refuses to get rescued, you know, yeah. I kept thinking, who's going to die, who's going to die, who's going to die?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
And so, even though most of everybody was in the ballroom, you had Phyllis and Jack had gone off, and they were...
They were like in a conference room.
Yeah, and they were stuck in there, but somehow Patty got in. And I don't know.
Looking adorable in her little...
Yeah, she was dressed as a cat. It was awesome. And she kind of gave a speech to Jack, and then all of a sudden, it was like Jack was on Patty's side.
Yeah, I don't know if he was trying to just manipulate her, or what his deal was.
I thought
that
initially,
was weird.
Yeah, initially I thought he was trying to manipulate her, because he even kissed her in front of Phyllis. And then Patty was like, I'm going to kill Phyllis. And Patty tries to strangle Phyllis. And I don't know, Jack pulls her off. And then, I don't know, like Phyllis knocked Patty.
Well, Phyllis belted her at one point.
Yeah. I mean, there was just like a like sort of a cat fight scuffle. And they knocked Patty unconscious. But Jack is so guilty. And he doesn't want to leave her, and he's just like, I've ruined her life, and I just want to be a better person. And Phyllis is like, dude, she tried to kill me. And he's still feels
standing
terrible.
Right there.
But it gets to the point where they have to escape, and they end up having to leave Patty there, and he feels terrible about it. And eventually Jack and Phyllis get down to the bottom and they escape. And he tells Paul, he says, I'm so sorry. Patty was in there and we had to leave her behind. So then you've got Paul trying to coordinate this huge emergency, I don't know, evacuation, as well as mourn the fact that Patty is theoretically dead.
Right. Now, do you think she's actually dead?
No, because...
Of course not.
At the very, very, very end, when they kept showing the building, like, slightly more on fire.
Right.
And more explosions. And she had found Ian Ward under a pile of rubble, and he said, help me. And she said, I think we can help each other. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, clearly she was able-bodied and was going to, and I just felt like both of them will resurface.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I think.
So let's talk about then.
It's great to have her just die in a fire.
Well, that would, yeah, that would be totally lame. Well, and also, and so that's why that setup with Jack, like, really feeling truly bad about it. And he talked about it even in a couple more scenes, like, how guilty he was about Patty. And I kind of felt like, whoa, what is going on
well,
with the two
of them? Well, and I think that's a throwback to the whole situation with Kelly.
Oh.
Whose life he ruined.
Yeah.
Another woman whose life he ruined.
Yeah.
And him trying to turn over a new leaf of not ruining women's lives.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Because he's, I feel like he's built his entire life on ruining other women's lives.
Oh, yeah. That's his thing.
But it would be really, I mean, it would be really interesting if Patty could come back. Because at this point, I mean, she's always sort of been our... Like, we like Patty, right? Even if she does the wrong things, we love her. And so if she could come back and actually enter in, even, like, with a history of mental illness, but maybe as a regular cast member? I don't know how they would do it.
So. I would love it.
Yeah. But I just don't know what it would look like. So, okay, can we talk about Stitch and Ashley?
This is the rest of the year.
So Ashley and Stitch, I guess they left too. They went to go get help somewhere else. They were in the lab or something.
Or they were looking for Abby.
Oh, were they looking for Abby?
I think that they were kind of looking for Abby.
Okay. Either way, they were like down the hall and an explosion hit and like blew them into a room and Stitch's leg, I don't know, was it broken or just it was injured? And
I don't know,
it wasn't looking good. He was given that whole, like, leave me, save yourself kind of speech.
Right.
And she wouldn't leave. And it was getting pretty bad where I thought maybe they were. I mean, I know they're not going to kill Ashley. But.
Well, I thought maybe they were.
Really?
I thought that maybe her time had finally come and she was sick of it because. Her role doesn't really go anywhere.
I know, and she's always in General Hospital, too.
You know.
But I didn't think they'd ever eliminate people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's like, really bad. Like, really bad. They both think they're going to die. They hear the gas get cut, and Stitch professes his love to Ashley. Wait a minute, did we even talk about how Stitch and Abby are now engaged?
I don't think we did.
All right, so backtrack.
But they are.
Before everything explodes, Stitch proposes to Abby. So they're engaged, and Abby's waving her engagement ring around town, like, I'm going to be the happiest woman in the world! Or not.
Thereby ruining all chances of her actually being happy.
So Stitch professes his love to Ashley, and then she's, like, right back. Like, and they have this sort of makeout session, like end of life makeout session, and I think then they both pass out from gas or smoke or whatever. And meanwhile, like, people are being shuttled off the roof from the helicopter, and Abby refuses to leave because her mom and her fiance are still in the building. Mm-hmm. I have to say, on a side note, so she was a flapper, right? She looked so much like Taylor Swift that I couldn't even see Abby in her face. I kept seeing Taylor Swift.
She looks like now.
I mean, she really, really looks like Taylor Swift. Like, the way that they're styling her, everything. So all I could see was Taylor Swift walking through the rubble, not Abby. But eventually she came across them, passed out, and she, like, woke them up, and she and Ashley went through, like, multiple rounds of Ashley, like, no, save yourself, no, go get help, whatever. She wouldn't, like, Ashley would not leave Stitch. And then Abby wouldn't leave because Ashley wouldn't leave. And at some point, didn't Adam come into the equation? Is Adam the one who helped save them?
Adam is the one who went back in and saved them.
Okay, yeah, like he got in there and he was like, both of you quit bickering, just pick up Stitch, drag him, and we'll all get on the helicopter and go, right? So basically, they're all fine. But now Stitch is in the hospital. And he's engaged to Abby, but having professed his love to Ashley. So what do you think's going to happen there?
Well, so Ashley had been visiting Stitch. And when he woke up, she said, okay, so we said some things that maybe we shouldn't have said, and, you know, I take it all back. You're marrying my daughter. And Stitch is like, well, wait a minute. But you love me, and I love you, and why can't that be a thing? And she's like, no, I won't do that to my daughter. So forget it. So Stitch just kind of gets on board and says, okay, fine. I guess I'm stuck with Abby. And then when Abby comes to visit, she's got all kinds of bridal gewgaws.
Yeah, well, and I really for a while have thought that they were writing Stitch out because he didn't really have a lot to do, and his character is getting kind of boring, and his love with Abby is really fake. It's just, you know, it's very clearly there's like zero chemistry. But in the show, I've noticed, you know, when they... You know, when they open it up, like the credits or whatever, he's got he's there. He's in the credits
now. Yeah, he's in the montage.
So he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
No.
But
we're stuck with him.
Do you think he'll actually marry Abby?
I hope not, because I don't want to go through another, you know,
like a Devon
version
Neal kind
of
thing?
Hillary Devon Neal.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to not falling in love with your loved one's parents?
Can we bring that back
as a thing?
I like this, though. I don't know. I don't know why I like it, but I maybe because I don't like Abby.
So perverted.
I'm not a huge Ashley fan, but I'm also, like, I don't really have a problem with her. But it makes way more sense that Stitch and Ashley are together. I think it's more age appropriate, maybe.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah, I think so.
They're and, also more,
you know,
intellectual.
I like
matched.
The idea of the older woman and the slightly younger guy.
Yeah. Yeah,
and,
for sure.
Can we just have a moment of silence for, or respect for Ashley's boobs?
What?
Because her costume, I can't even remember what she was, but her boobs looked fantastic.
I don't even remember what she was, but it was after the explosion and they were hanging out and, you know, her hair's all over the place and she's got dirt all over her face. Thor was over my shoulder and he goes, what's Ashley's costume? Somebody's drunken stepmother? So I don't know what her initial costume was.
No. It was working for me, though. I appreciated it.
Yeah.
So, thumbs up.
So, yeah. So, there's that piece, too. But then, yeah, so they're all there. So, Adam is one of the last people left in the building, right?
Right. Yeah. Dylan's been working on getting people out via the chopper.
Yeah. And
the pilot tells Dylan, you know, there's not enough structural integrity. The building's going to fall apart, and
no more rescue missions.
Do any more runs?
Yeah, but Victor convinces Dylan, like, you got to go. Adam's still in there. Save my boy.
Right.
And so, so Adam is left in the ballroom, and then we kept seeing this like masked devil figure, and then he finally takes off his mask. It's Ian Ward. So despite all these crazy explosions and everybody else getting injured, Ian's been able to be all over the building, totally unscathed.
Mm-hmm. And he's fine. Yeah. It's a really good cloak.
Yeah. Just creating mayhem everywhere. So what was Ian Ward's initial escape plan? Because if everybody else is trapped and they need the helicopter to escape, how was he going to get out?
Well, I think he had this idea that because he was the mastermind, uh-huh. he would be able to just slip out a side entrance.
A side entrance on
that for some reason, the 100th floor. That you know, he would take the staircase and it would be no big deal.
Maybe he had like a...
Because it was all his plan.
Okay. All right. Yeah, madness. All right. Either way.
Because he's arrogant, nothing can hurt him.
Yeah. Well, clearly, because he was able for 5 or 6 episodes to just be whisking around the building like, ha ha ha. So anyway, he and Adam get into it and they fight and, you know, it looks like Ian's going to win and of course he doesn't. And he falls under a pile of rubble and Adam says, it's not murder, you know, because the building's going to collapse and you're going to die. And so he leaves Ian technically alive, but buried under a pile of rubble. And then at the last second, you know, Adam escapes with Dylan on the chopper. But then that's when Patty comes in and sees Ian and says, let's help each other. So I don't know how they're going to get out either, but, you know, they're
going to take Ian's magical slide chute.
He's got a zip line.
Yeah, he's going to just rappel out of the building.
So anyway, I don't think anybody died. Did anybody die?
Well, no one died from the fire.
Yeah.
But when Sage and Nick got back to the hospital, little baby Christian had died while they were gone.
Yeah.
So cue a million violins and get ready to grab your hankies, because then it was 5 days of Nick and Sage crying.
I love Nick's really bad acting. It's so bad that...
Oh, his crying is the worst. Hers is worse than his, though.
Well, I was going to say Sage is taking Tracy's place right now.
Yeah. No, she's up for the Tracy Newman Award for Lost Children. But
Tracy Abbott.
her acting was so painfully bad. It was like a throwback to like an 1880s onstage melodrama.
But that's how I felt about Nick's. I felt like it was like in middle school drama where you ask somebody to be emotional.
No, I know middle school drama kids who can do better than they did.
It was so over the top. But that's why I enjoyed it, actually. Because
that made it bearable.
Yeah, if it had been better acted, I think I would have been really bored, but I was tuning in because it was it was so bad. So anyway, they spend a lot of time in the hospital, and then just like you were saying, there's too many death memorials. Well, they had some sort of memorial for Christian in the chapel that Victoria organized.
Yes. Now, the thing that I thought was interesting about that whole sequence was, so Sage has been admitted to the hospital because she's exhausted and, you know, having a normal grief process. But Nick comes in and says, you know, it's awful. This is a horrible thing that happened, but we can get past it. And she's like, no, we can't. We're not a family anymore. Uh-huh. Without our baby, we're not a family. And you're going to leave me. And, you know, Nick's kind of like, well, I didn't say that out loud, but, you know, no, of course I won't leave you. Yeah. And then Victoria comes in and says, you know, I'm going to help do the memorial service. And, you know, I've been through this before. I lost my own baby, you know, who had kind of the same situation of being born premature and the lungs weren't developed, and Sage just rips her a new one and just says, you know, how dare you make this about you, and, you know, my baby isn't your baby and my grief is better than anybody else's grief. So they start having the memorial service and Sage is like, no, I'm not going. I'm not ready to bury my child. Adam goes into her room, talks to her for about 3.5 minutes and says, well, I lost a child. And she, immediately she's like, oh, really? Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess I should go then. It's like, well, wait, you've just been yelling at everybody else for doing, telling you their story. Now you're just letting Adam, Adam's the one who convinces you?
Because Adam's on the up and up right now. He's a hero. Victor is back, you know, like, I don't know. The whole Victor-Adam thing is a really weird dynamic they've added where it's like real father-son bonding going on.
Yeah.
But right after, I feel like after Adam talked to Sage, Victor went in and talked to Adam and was like, you seem really bummed out by Christian dying. What's that about? And Adam's like, I don't, nothing. I just, it's a sad thing. And Adam says, that baby's yours, isn't it? You know, and he kind of pushes like, that was your baby. So was it Adam's?
That's what he said. Adam said it was his baby.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. So it was his. Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Huh. So it wasn't even Nick's.
Mm-mm.
But is that going to be like a secret that they just keep?
No, I think that that's something that's going to come out quickly and we'll give
Nick, like, a reason to leave Sage.
A reason to divorce Sage.
Good, because I don't want them to be together anyway. I was liking that Nicholas and Chelsea were kind of like, I don't know, comforting each other. I thought that would be a good match. Okay. I don't know why, but I thought it would be.
Well, do the reverse Adam switch, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. So... yeah, that's, yeah, I don't think I have anything else to say about that other than, okay. I always said the baby wasn't going to make it or it was going to get stolen or something. So this does sort of tie a bow on it for me that, I don't think Nick was meant to be a dad of a baby again, but, you know, whatever.
Right. Yeah. Well, I did like Victor's speech at the memorial, though. That was really sweet, I thought. And I thought the acting was really good for it.
Yeah.
Because I've always liked Eric Braeden when he works with the kids. So that was a moment that worked for me.
Yeah. Should we talk about Sharon?
Yeah, let's talk about Sharon. Because there's something weird going on with Sharon.
Yeah.
I don't know where the storyline is going, and that bugs me.
This story has not been cracked for us. Like, we just had a ton of drama. And Sharon has been in the background the whole time, but something big is going to happen with Sharon. Because we know she's been at Fairview, and a crazy doctor is taking care of her and has convinced Sharon that she is pregnant, even though we all know Sharon isn't pregnant.
Right.
And Sharon, I mean, essentially, is she drugging Sharon and sort of feeding her lines and just messing with her mind?
Well, she's brainwashing her, but... she's brainwashing Sharon, but is she? Because there was kind of one of these moments where Sharon was talking to Dylan, because Dylan's been coming and saying, I want to talk to Sharon, I want to talk to Sharon, and the doctor's been saying, well, too bad. Sharon doesn't want to talk to you, and we have to do what the patient wants. But then she orchestrated them to FaceTime together, and...
But when they were doing that, the doctor was like, Sharon is very tired, aren't you, Sharon? And Sharon was like, I'm very tired. You know, like she was kind of spitting the words back out. But then Dylan finally, he went to Fairview and confronted the doctor, because when Patty had escaped, her reasoning supposedly was like, she had to tell Dylan, she had to warn Dylan. And Dylan's like, well, what do I need to be warned about? So he goes, and he sees Sharon through the window of her door, and she rolls over in bed, and she's got, like, a pillow or something shoved. So she's supposed to look pregnant, but it looked pretty fake pregnant.
Well, she's supposed to look pregnant because the doctor gave her a pregnancy pillow and showed Dylan a sonogram
of
a baby.
Oh, that's right. She did show a sonogram.
And that was one reason why they were FaceTiming, was so that Sharon could tell Dylan the gender of the child.
Yeah. It was a boy, right? Is that right?
But while she was doing that, the doctor was in the same room.
Uh-huh.
And Sharon is looking like, okay, I know I'm being watched. I need to say what she wants me to say or else I'll be in trouble.
Yeah.
Kind of. So I think Sharon knows that she's not pregnant, but she doesn't know why the doctor is doing these things to her.
She's like not
lucid
enough,
to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, but she's also, I mean, I don't, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. And I kind of wondered if Patty would come back into the equation here. Like, I don't know, somehow save Sharon. I don't know.
I think so. I think Patty is going to be the one to blow the whole thing up.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's all that really happened with Sharon, but there are definitely some weird things, and it's like, well, where's that going?
Yeah.
In 2017, she's still going to have that pillow.
Right.
And
Dylan can't count. So he'll have no idea why it's been going on that long.
I know. Okay, let's talk about Marissa. I think that's one of the last things to talk
about.
Okay, so Marissa was sort of stuck between Luca and Noah, and it came out that Marissa has a daughter. Do we know how old the daughter is?
We don't know who the daughter is. I don't think we even know how old the daughter is.
Yeah.
But now we know that the daughter is under the control of Luca. And that her name is Ava.
Yeah, and Marissa had given up the baby in the beginning because she wanted to keep it away from Luca's family. And that's how Marco entered the equation, that Marco promised he would be able to provide a sort of a secret safe home for the baby and then also take care of Marissa. And so Marissa's backstory is coming into play. But now Luca's in town, and he basically made a deal that he would tell Marissa where her child was if she stayed with him for 30 days. Which she agreed
Which is
to.
All it takes to implement Stockholm Syndrome.
Is that it?
No, I don't know. I made that up, but it seems likely, doesn't it?
Yeah, maybe. Probably not, but maybe. Because at the party, before things got bad, Marissa and Noah, snuck off to a room and had sex, and Luca walked in and saw and left. So, and it, like, you know, really stuck in his craw. So he told Noah later, like, oh, I know what you did. And he's just going to make it even more uncomfortable and, like, I guess just tighten his hold on Marissa.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Marissa's makeup, the Day of the Dead makeup, must have been exceptional because for all that making out they were doing, there was not a smudge.
Right. There was a little smudge on Noah.
Yeah, yeah.
But nothing on her, which I think is funny.
I don't know, anything else to say about that?
No. I don't care about them at all. That whole storyline could just keep on going or not, and I wouldn't even notice.
So, I don't know how I feel about it yet. I like Marissa. I like Noah, and I think I actually might even like Luca, but their storyline together is kind of played out, so meh, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I guess I am always interested in her backstory because she seems like she has a lot of potential.
There's a great potential for complexity with her.
Yeah, and
that we don't have with Gwen.
And yeah, totally. And the fact that Marissa and Luca share a child, I think just it means he's not going anywhere anytime soon either.
Yeah. Yeah, and sooner or later we'll see the child.
And that his family does business with Victor Newman, so you know, maybe Luca's parents will enter the scene as well. I don't know. So I think that's it.
And it is nice. I think that's it. I was going to say it is nice to see, you know, a prosperous, you know, financially responsible Hispanic character,
yeah,
because everyone else has been in some kind of a service role.
Yeah,
like, you know, Mrs. Whatever,
the stable boy, or the bartender, or the valet. Yeah, for real.
Yeah, so that's a nice switch.
Constantly. Someday, maybe, someday, they might have an Asian person. Like, I just don't understand the...
Don't be silly.
God forbid. No, don't remember. Years ago, Jill had the affair with, what was his name?
Jing Mao?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, from, I think they were going to China a lot. And
yeah.
But then he was murdered and it was all over. Where has Jill been? Through all this craziness, Jill has not been around at all.
Yeah, she and Colin are spending Halloween at home giving out candy to the kids who weren't trapped in the tower.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's okay, because their storyline is usually lame anyway, so.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so should we talk contest?
Let's talk contest. We have a winner.
I tallied up all of our results, and of course now, oh, here they are. and thank you to all of, I mean, really a lot of people entered. But our winner is Reyna from Los Angeles. So, Reyna, congratulations. Yay! You get your own fabulous mug. If you would message me on Facebook, I'll get your address and we'll get it sent to you. Meanwhile, there were a lot of people who also gave me their address to send a postcard. So I sent the postcards out a couple days ago, so you'll probably get one in the mail, or maybe you've already gotten it. But I still have several more. So if you want a postcard, just send me your address on Facebook. Hopefully, like, a lot of you are already on the Young and the Restless recap site, but if you're not, just find us on Facebook. I also want to give a shout out to Rachel in Portland, because you got the least amount of answers, right? So.
Yay, the biggest loser.
You at least got a couple, but I'm assuming those were guesses, so.
Because you couldn't possibly actually get the answer right.
Anyway, yeah, so that's that. Anything else?
I don't think so. I think we're good.
Okay. It was a long podcast, but so, yeah, go ahead.
It was. So I was just thinking that every year we have the Christmas miracle.
Oh, yeah.
And Halloween is becoming the Halloween child's death.
Oh, you're right. It's like it's a tradition. That's terrible.
It's a tradition.
Maybe next year Sharon's fake baby will die.
And I think we need to move away from that.
Who's going to be our Christmas miracle this year?
Anyway.
Who do you think will be a Christmas miracle?
Well, I don't know. Maybe Sharon really will have a baby.
The baby will be the Christmas miracle.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll be like, oh, she was pregnant. Huh, who knew?
Oh, she's been pregnant this whole time. She just didn't show. Huh. What do you know?
It was a 13-month pregnancy, but that's okay.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know who...
There's not a lot of likely suspects yet. Somebody needs to start having some downfall time.
Yeah. I got nothing on that. I have been really mentally noting all of our, like, most incompetent, least incompetent, you know, best dressed. So we'll be doing that in December as well sometimes, or maybe in January when the year's over. But yeah. Okay. Don't forget to go to the Young and the Restless recap on Facebook, or you could look at our blog. YR updates at blogspot.com. And we will see you next time.
Alrighty, bye-bye.